It's a joy to be here with you, and I would ask you to go to God in prayer with me. Holy and gracious God, thank you for the many wonderful blessings you give us. I praise you and thank you for this church, for its history and its future, for its leaders past and present, for the many ministries that you bestow upon it. Thank you for this church and its witness. We pray your blessings upon Pastor Don and all who have gathered for Western District Synod. And we pray your blessings now upon the words that I will speak and upon the words you will speak into our hearts and upon us as we gather at your table. Thank you, O God, for the gift of your love through your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. May God bless and be gracious to you. May God's face shine upon you. Those were the first words from Psalm 67, the psalm assigned for today. And you may recognize those words as part of one of the blessings that we use at the end of Holy Communion. It's my favorite blessing. It's part of what they call the priestly blessing from Numbers chapter 6. That blessing is so deep and so meaningful in so many ways. And those words of blessing that start out the Psalm 67 just fill the psalm with wonder, with awe, with joy at God's graciousness and God's many blessings. And if you go back and look at that psalm, you will see that it's very clear that God's blessings are for all. That word all is repeated many times in that very short passage. God's blessings are for all people, all nations, and all the earth. One commentator, Marcia Riggs, says, a blessing, have you ever thought of what a blessing is? She says, a blessing is always a gift from God. Think about it. If I ask you to name your blessings, I hope that as they start running through your mind, that they're endless. You could go from the biggest to the smallest. We have indeed many blessings. And yet, I realize that at times, it's hard for us to focus on those blessings, to be filled with the joy, with the grace, with the peace. Because sometimes we're dealing with stuff. Sometimes we just don't feel so much that peace. Maybe we're dealing with sorrow or illness. Maybe we're dealing with sadness or fear, with despair or darkness, with times of change. Because even good change can bring difficulty. With times of just anything that might draw us a little bit away from that joy. And there's an awful lot in our lives and in our world that we could get focused on and forget the blessings, the gift, the peace, and the grace. We see a little bit of that in John chapter 14. It begins with Jesus speaking, and Jesus is answering, if you go back and read right before, Jesus is answering a question from Judas about how Jesus could show himself to the disciples but not to the world. And what Jesus does is he warns his disciples that he's going away. Think about it. This is your friend, your mentor, your teacher, your leader. And he says he's going away. And yet he tells you should be happy about it? How confusing for those disciples. This small passage in John is part of what they call the farewell discourse, what Jesus is preparing his disciples for when he would leave. And Jesus tells them, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. He doesn't give as the world gives. He makes that very clear How does the world give? The world gives often conditionally. I will give you this if you'll do that for me. And the world defines peace sometimes as absence of conflict, absence of pain. And we know that even as Christians, as ones who believe in Jesus and follow him, as we shared in our prayer time, we're not insulated from pain, from difficulty, from loss, from conflict. But Jesus says, peace I leave with you. Peace I give to you. What is that peace? What is it? It's the presence of God. And think about it. That's not something that goes away. No matter where you go, that can be with you. God's presence. No matter what you do, who you are, where you've been, God's presence is with you always. That peace is the gift of calmness and confidence that comes from union with God and faith in God and God's purposes. It was a commentator, Rodney Whitaker, who said that, and that is so true. We read that, we heard that actually, we sang that in our opening hymn about where God sent his son. And we don't know what tomorrow brings, but we know that God holds the future in God's hands. We just sang, when peace like a river. It's that presence of God that grounds us, that helps us, even and especially in the midst of difficult times. They talk about it being the peace that passes understanding. That's a nice thing to say, but man, how hard that is to have sometimes. And as someone who's been ordained for 14 years now, it took me a long time to really understand what the peace that passes understanding is. I would preach about it, and I believed it, but I never really experienced it until 2011, when my mom, there had been a house fire, and she suffered lots of smoke inhalation and was not going to recover. And she spent a week in the hospital, and I flew from California to Indiana, where she lived, and sat with her that week, and knowing that she was, there was too much brain damage, and she was not going to wake up. And we had made the decision to go to hospice. And the night before, it was a Thursday night, and we were going to go to hospice Saturday morning. Friday, we were going to get everything ready, and then go to hospice Saturday, and we knew that would be it. But somehow, after bathing my mom and washing her hair and everything, I guess from the nurse moving her around a lot, the breathing tube had slipped out. And we had clearly said she was a DNR, so they did not do anything to put it back in and did not do anything to resuscitate her. And I remember sitting in the room with her, and all of these nurses and doctors and everyone came running, and we knew not to do anything. And the nurse came and asked me, and I said, yep, that's what mom wanted. And I just remember sitting there thinking, wow, this is the peace. I really felt it. Because my prayer was, God, please either just fix her and make her better now or take her home. And I didn't think I would ever be able to pray that about my mom, but I did. And that clearly for me was the clearest example I've ever felt or experienced of the peace that passes understanding. It's a peace that's not grounded in the circumstances, because there were doctors and nurses everywhere, and my mom was sitting right there dying next to me. And yet, I felt that peace. That peace that passes all understanding. That peace that is amazing, that comes from God alone. I hope, dear friends, that you never have to go through an experience like that. But that I hope that whenever difficult times come, whenever you face something that's troubling, that's saddening, that you can indeed experience that peace. There was a quote that I found that said, Christians are people who can hold on to hope in the midst of despair and can trust through times of loss and desolation. I don't know what you have been through or what you may go through, but I hope that you can hold on to that. Hold on to the hope, hold on to God's love, no matter what you might face today, tomorrow, or years to come. The reality is God's faithfulness and God's blessings are for all of us. Not just for those of us sitting here this morning, not for just for those who are sitting in any church this morning, but for the whole world. As our priestly blessing that we'll say at the end of the service today says, God, we want God's face to shine upon us. To shine upon us always, not just when it's light out or when we're dealing with wonderful things, but also in the darkness. God's face, God's love, God's presence is indeed that light. So Jesus tells his disciples and tells us, don't be afraid. Dealing with illness or a family member who's ill, dealing with financial difficulties or changes in jobs or moving, dealing with whatever it might be, don't be afraid. Don't be anxious. And do not let your heart be troubled. I know that's often easier said than done, but yet I remind us that God's plan, believe it or not, God's plan is always best. So Jesus warned his disciples. He knew he would be leaving them. And he wanted to tell them, I'm going to be leaving. And he knew they might not really understand, but he wanted them to remember later when it happened. Scripture says he wanted them to remember later so they might believe. Sometimes that's how our faith grows, through those tough times when we remember and we believe. Jesus said also, by the way, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our advocate, our companion, our comforter. The Holy Spirit comes to help us know what God teaches and to help us remember what Jesus said. That Holy Spirit is a teacher. A teacher. Think of your favorite teacher. For some of us, it might not be quite so long ago, and for others of us, it might have been a while ago since we've had a teacher. But think of your favorite teacher. They were probably someone who developed a caring relationship for you. More than just you were the student that sat here, or you're the student that caused trouble, or whatever it might be. They got to know you. And the other thing about a teacher is they expect and see the best in you. Think about it. If you think about your favorite teachers, mentors, sometimes they're the ones who challenge us to be better than we thought we could. In some ways, that's what the Holy Spirit does. Challenges us to believe a little more, to give and serve and live our faith a little more than we thought we could. And the good news, dear friends, is that God is present with us always. In John today, Jesus says that we will be in relationship with you. We will come and make our home with you. Not just in eternity. I think sometimes we think that that's what it means. But here and now, in your everyday life, cooking dinner, mowing the yard, getting things ready for the summer, whatever it might be, God is with us. That's the most powerful message. God is love and grace and peace and blessings. And God is with you here and now and forever. Some of your brothers and sisters, even in the tough times or uncertain times, I pray that you might still always be filled with God's grace and God's peace. I pray that as we read in our liturgy, that you might remember that God calls you from darkness into light, that you are chosen and beloved as God's beautiful, wonderful, amazing children. I pray that those of you here from this congregation may remember and celebrate the blessings that God has given you and the blessings that I know that you are sharing not only with this community, but with folks in Milwaukee and throughout the world. And I pray that each one of us might continue to know that grace and those blessings, and that we might continue to shine brightly for God here and to the end of the earth. Amen. Our service for Holy Communion is printed on the insert that's found in your bulletin. My dear friends, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Thanks be to God. I invite us to stand and share the right hand of fellowship in peace with one another.